You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. As you know, we've been traveling for the last couple of weeks in the US to attend NAR in Boston. So instead of me doing the podcast this week, I've handed the reins over to our deputy editor, Hannah Blackiston. In this podcast, Hannah talks to this issue's cover agent, Ed Smith from NGU Real Estate, along with his partner, Karen Stewart. Their partnership is very different. She's been an agent for 15 years. He has been in the business for just over two. Obviously, they have very different ways of doing things, but the partnership just works. So it's over to Hannah with Ed and Karen. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Ed and Karen. I just wanted to start off with your backgrounds a little bit. You've both got very different backgrounds. Ed, I think we'll start with you first. You've only been in real estate for 2.5 years. So can you tell us a bit about your life before real estate?
Yeah, sure. So I spent 10 years as an investment banker. So I was trading the stock markets in London as a derivatives trader. So I worked with hedge funds and basically national banks, helping them trade their bonds, essentially. So I did bonds, equities, fixed income. Nobody will probably know much about that. It was basically all finance-related, trading interest rates and stuff like that. So I did that, and then I moved to Australia 3.5 years ago, and I brought my trading company with me, but after the first year, I stopped that because I got a bit over it. Morally, it just wasn't sitting with me anymore because of the terrorist attacks. So I was making a lot of money if a plane blew up, or I was losing a lot of money if a plane blew up, and either way, it wasn't sitting right. So I just had a look at what Australia does and what Australia likes, and everybody seems to love property here. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do property. I went into property. I just did it part-time while I was still trading. So trading at night, property by day. And then I sold a couple of off-the-plan properties, got a big commission check, and then decided I wanted to do it. So I bought a house from Karen in the area that we work, and that's kind of what brought us together. I was really impressed with the service, so I went into business with it, and here we are.
And Karen, you've had a very long and successful career. You've been in real estate for over 15 years. Can you tell me a bit about your career up until now?
I got into real estate by accident. I was working for a duty-free company for 12 years since arriving in Australia. And they were closing down all the local stores. They offered me to go up to Brisbane and run Brisbane Airport, but that meant getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I had two young children, and I thought, no, that's not what I want to do. So became a mum for probably about 3 weeks, and then somebody at the school was looking for a trainee person to go into their real estate office. So I jumped at the chance, lasted there probably about 3 weeks, and then fell into a brand new agency here on the coast and probably wrote $1.5 million in my first 2 weeks there. They all thought I was amazing. I wasn't, because I'm actually very quiet, and it just, I guess, the right timing. And then I moved to a big brand and was with them for a few months and did really well. And then there was an opportunity for me to move to where I live, which is in Bonnet Waters. So I joined them and was with them for 5 years. Became their number one agent in the office for 5 of those years, but doing it very quietly, being the only female or one of the few female people there. Was very much a boys' club, and found that quite challenging, but I still rose to the challenge. And yeah, and then moving on and having another partner that didn't quite work out for a short period of time, I sold Ed a house. And I was working for, am I allowed to say, McGraw at the time, and I'd been with them for 6 years or 5 years at the time. Quite a lonely business being in real estate, especially if you have quite a personality like I do. So when Ed came on the scene, being, I guess, a lot louder than I am, and we were very opposites, I wouldn't say loud, but very different personalities. As Ed said, I sold him a house, and he showed interest that he wanted to come and work with the same company. So he got an interview. They don't normally take on new people, but he impressed them. And they actually said to me afterwards, if he is good as talking the talk as he can actually put it into action, then he's going to do well. Within a few weeks, there was a couple in our office that left that was servicing an area that I'd been doing for a little while. Ed and I both had the same thought, let's team up, let's get together, let's put our qualities, our skill set together and become an awesome team. It was a massive risk for me because for 15 years I've been doing it by myself. And to actually then have to share half of my income with someone that's new to the business. But to me, if I wanted to move forward in this world of changing real estate with all the, you know, Facebook and Google Analytics, whatever they are, then I needed to make a change. And a lot of people were moving into teams as well. Although it was a massive risk and I was jumping out of my comfort zone, I really felt that we were the right fit for each other.
I think that's important for teams. It was a big conversation that we had and there was, you know, there was a few wines involved. I kept pushing them across the table. But I think if you're going into a business partnership, you can't go in 49-51 or 70-30 or 60-40 with a business partner. It's different if you're the lead agent and you've got associates and then a CSM or a PA or whatever people call it. If you're going into a partnership, it has to be 50-50 because there's too many traps along the way. If somebody's getting 70% and you're getting 30%, but you brought the buyer and they brought the seller, there's too many conversations to be had to get in the way. So if you're going to go into a business partnership in real estate and create a high-performing team, I think you choose your partner wisely. It's based on trust. Don't choose somebody with the same skill set as you because you could do that yourself.
We've got a different age demographic, so we cater to a wider audience, I guess, and our synchronicity that we have generally works well when we're presenting ourselves. Someone might lean towards Ed or someone might lean towards myself and we just use that. We read the play, I guess, with each other and with who we're talking with.
If you get it right at the start, then you can continue. If you don't get it right at the start, then you're going to fail, I think, for teams. And that's really important in real estate. A lot of people now see people on stage at IRAC and think a high-performance team is the way forward, but you've got to get it right at the start. So one of the things that I identified, so Karma's doing 350, 400 GCI per year, something like that, on her own, doing all the admin, all the listing appointments, all the letterbox drops, like absolutely everything for 15 years. And I walked in and I was like, there's no chance I'm doing letterbox drops and I'm not using the printer. I wouldn't do anything that I didn't want to do and I don't want to do things if I'm not good at them. So immediately we got a secretary.
How quickly did you know that the partnership was going to work? Because you guys are obviously very in sync with each other. You're finishing each other's sentences. Did that come in really quickly?
It was uncanny. I used to say to Ed, I need to pinch myself because how is this possible? But to have somebody so different, yet we're so connected, it's like we met each other in a previous life. It's been a rollercoaster ride and we've had to, me particularly, I've had to learn to delegate some of the tasks that I was comfortable in doing and you just have to switch around. I've had to put my property management hat on the way we work together. The team is so tight-knit that I think we're absolutely blessed. Like Shannon is our rock and Sean, who's our lead agent, it's like a family. And we seriously would walk over glass to protect each other and to look out for each other.
I think that's interesting. I think that's one of the things that needs to be improved, though. It's like ownership in a real estate sense doesn't mean that you do the job. It just means that you own it and you can delegate it, so then you still own it, right? So one of the things as well when you become a business owner is that you've got the stress of being a listing agent, a selling agent, a property manager, a business owner, an accountant, and everything else. So I think you need to really focus on how to get stuff off your table so that you can get the good stuff on your table. Because you're reliant upon bringing the dollars in. You don't need to sit and count them. You can pay somebody to count them. You just got to make sure that they come in.
So tell me how your partnership looks in a day-to-day. How closely do you work together? Do you go to presentations together?
With our previous company, we used to do all our presentations together. We were very much in the car together, but we've basically decided that that's not the best way to move forward. We're sort of like divide and conquer. So Ed has his skill set, I have mine. So we're trying to focus on, okay, I'm going to do this, these tasks, you're going to do this. And then if we need to go and present together, we will, but we'll choose that wisely.
We had an interesting conversation last week, Hannah, where our business mentor, Jamie Asipardi, thanks, Jamie, he runs sales for IBM Australasia. So he's a very successful businessman. And he came in last week to give us some guidance and it's good to have a mentor in business. I meet him for a coffee once, twice a month. And he came in and he said, look, you guys have got a really good and unusual mix amongst the team. It's like Karen's the mums and dads, like empathetic type real estate agent who can really tap into their needs and understandings and solve the problems. Sean's got a building background. So, you know, something that Sean's doing is now is addressing builders for new developments, you know, dropping off some coffees to the building sites and maybe a couple of beers on a Friday to try and get deeper in that market. And Jamie identified me as more of a corporate technology side of real estate. So we appeal to different people. So it's all about identifying what type of person that we're going to deal with and letting them choose who they're most comfortable with. Because as Karen says, you know, I'm really not everybody's cup of tea. I can frustrate a lot of people because I'm so high intensity.
Ed, you've just been on the cover of our tech issue, and you made mention of some really cool things you're doing with data and automation. Can you tell me a bit more about that and also where you're hoping that will go?
The thing with technology is that it starts off with an idea, and then you look at the marketplace to see if somebody's already doing it, because it'll save you money. For example, I want automation. So I want the humans to step in probably 10% of the time that they're currently stepping in. And that 10% of the time is when there's business to be done. So if, for example, there's 100 phone calls made in a real estate company, when you're running property management especially, 90 of those probably don't need to be made. And 90 of those people probably don't want to receive those phone calls. It can be done by a text message, by an email. There's a touch point that could be made that can just streamline the whole process. What I mean by that is if somebody emails Karen or I and says, I want to see the house at 3 p.m. on Thursday, and doesn't leave a phone number, then why do we need to go chasing that? Why do we need to add that to our task list? Why aren't the computers just doing all that for us? So that when it comes Thursday at 3 p.m. and they're at the property, well, yes, we need to be there, obviously. So that's what we want to move towards, is automation of the data, how it's captured, how it's gathered, how it's communicated to, and with less touch points for us humans.
And that's really interesting because, Karen, I was watching an interview with you just before from when you started at NGU Gold Coast, and you said that you're very much a people person and that's very much your side of real estate. So to someone looking at tech from the outside, it doesn't speak to that. How do you bring that people side to what Ed's bringing to the business, the tech stuff and the data stuff?
I'll continue to be the face-to-face and do the personal touch because I think you need both. And that's obviously because of my personality. For me to just do text message and that, I wouldn't enjoy the job as much. I'm very passionate about meeting people and listening to them. And you don't get that on a text message or an email. And it's like I'll continue to write my handwritten Christmas cards. And last year, I think I wrote 2,500 Christmas cards by hand with a personal message to people that I knew and people I didn't know. It was just a nice, but at least it was handwritten. And I will continue to do that. And a lot of people think I'm crazy, but to me, that's just Karen. And you have to be yourself. And so Ed will do his thing, I'll do my thing.
My thought process behind that would be, I want a database of 20,000 people. And inside that database, I want some kind of code that says the name of them and their kids. So it's like, hey, Mary and John and the two kids. If you could introduce the names and then a little bit personalized video, that could go out to 20,000 people wishing them a Merry Christmas. With a little, you know, cartoon dancing or something. I don't know why I just thought of that, but that would be my idea. You know, you push a button and those things are done.
But you can't be going to the letterbox and opening up a personal letter and saying someone's taken the time to write to me. And I remember walking down the street because I actually dropped them off myself as well. So I'll be dropping them off. And I remember dropping one off and somebody said to me, oh, that must cost you some money, Karen, to do that. And I said, well, it's not cheap, but... He said, well, I really appreciate it. He said, I actually look forward to getting your Christmas card. And I've actually had text messages from people that have got them and thanked me for taking the time to actually send them a handwritten card.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a completely different dynamic between the two of you. It's so interesting.
That's another reason I think why Ed and I work well together is because he brings out the best in me most of the time. You have to bring the best out in yourself. Like you get knocked down, you have to get yourself up. And this business, you do get knocked down a lot in. And I'm very tenacious, but in a quiet way. I'm like with a dog with a bone. And that's why I love the negotiations in real estate, because you're achieving something. You personally are actually making a difference to people's worlds. And it's not just about getting a sale. You are literally helping people move towards their goals. And sometimes selling real estate isn't happiness. It can be someone's died or, you know, a divorce or some other kind of tragedy. That's probably where I do best because I have that empathy and I have that caringness.
Whereas mine is just a burning fire to be number one.
Yeah.
An absolute burning need, necessity for us to be the number one real estate agency in Queensland. that's where I start and that's where I end. When somebody lists in our area, when we first started together, I would just get so angry. And people would say, oh, you know, you shouldn't get angry. You should just respect it and move on and get the next one. And I'll screw that. I'm fired up. That's what I want. I want people to be better than me.
But then I would ring them if I knew them and I'd ask them why they chose the other person, as in, what can we do better? What was the reason? So that if there was something that we can improve on, then obviously what we want to know, and we wish them all the best. Whereas other agents I know of, if they missed out on a listing, they would ring up and abuse the seller. I'm thinking, why would you do that? Ring them up, wish them all the best. And if I can help you in the future, I'll help you in the future. And that's, I have built my business on my reputation. And yes, I need the money and I need the dollar, because I am the only income earner in the family, but I'll do it by building business on reputation so the rest follows. I'm a great believer, if you do the right thing by people, the rest will happen.
We first opened up in February, March. Then we had the Commonwealth Games, which kind of killed the market here. It was a ghost town. There was a figure like 300,000 flew out and 30,000 flew in or something. It was crazy dead. And this is a very seasonal market in the Gold Coast, so winter was very quiet, as normal. But now we're at a position with the banks where one of our conveyancers released a note the other day where contract collapses have increased from 11% to 24%. So now we're looking at a situation where one in four contracts after they go under are falling over. So you really need to be a skilled operator in this market to make things stick.
That's probably one of our big skill sets, both of us, is being able to massage people and deals and be proactive, not reactive, so that you're not just doing the sale and signing the contract and waiting for everything to fall into place. We've had one that I think we listed it in April, we sold it in May, and it only settled last week. And that was a $1.9 million deal that potentially could have fallen over 20 times in that time frame. So the amount of work that was, you know, by Sean and Ed, and occasionally myself, but more so Ed, to actually keep that together, was probably one of the toughest things in my 16 years that I've seen. So it's certainly a different market today than it has ever been.
And this is like Sydney, you know, basically people were just taking orders. It was a competition to get the listing, not the sale. Now I think it's a competition to get the sale as much as the listing. So that's something that we're really good at. We're really proactive. As Panos says, you can't be an order taker, you've got to be a deal maker. And I think that's going to be even more important as the market figures out where it's going next. For us, I think we're going to be okay because, you know, the Gold Coast infrastructure-wise is set up for a real jolt north, in my opinion. There's a saying that we used to apply when we were trading, buy when there's blood in the streets and sell at the sound of trumpets, which is you buy your properties, you buy your assets, your financial assets, your property assets when people are always afraid, because that's when you get the best buys. And then you sell when everybody's so excited. And if you applied that philosophy to the Sydney market, for example, you would have made a lot of money, right? So when you're seeing 100 people registered at an auction, that's when you sell. That's not when you buy. You're seeing nobody at the auction now when everybody's freaking out. That's when you buy. But with property, there has to be applied the time horizon, a minimum of 5 years, because the stamp duty effect, the legal fee effect, the pesky agent fees effect, all just erodes that asset.
You tapped into mentors a little bit earlier, and I just wanted to ask about that, especially coming into real estate and setting up a new business. How important are mentors in this business, and who are the people you look up to?
I've never really had a mentor. Jamie, who Ed mentioned before, Jamie has a party. I sold him a house many years ago, and that's how Ed met him, because when Jamie was looking for an investment property, Ed had just started working with us, or with myself, together. So I said, Ed, okay, here you go. Jamie's looking for an investment property. Here's yours. And since then, they've become good mates, and Jamie has become our business mentor. And he came in, said to me a couple of weeks ago, and really opened our eyes to a few things.
It's something that I think Karen should do, and I've told her this before, is actually get a mentor that she can talk to, because then you can like unpack her frustrations with me as well, if she wants to. I think a business mentor is critical, personally. So I had one as soon as I started that wasn't Karen. Make sure it's not your business partner. I had one who we worked with for a while, and he was an excellent operator. His name is John Natoli. I was really happy with him. He left to go somewhere else. I've now got somebody who lives in our area that we work, which is Jamie. So he actually gives us critique on our letterbox drops, what he's actually seeing from the other agents. And he's also a super successful business guy. So it's perfect. So he goes, look, this is what I'm getting through that I like. And this is what I'm getting through that I don't like. The other agencies do this that I like. And they do this that I don't like. And here's how you apply it in a business sense. So I don't think I'll change unless it gets rid of me. But I think a business mentor in some shape or form for me is critical. But as new agents or as any agents, don't spend a ton of money on it. Through real estate, you're going to meet a lot of successful businessmen just by natural. And it doesn't have to be successful. They could run the local flower shop. Just ask somebody if you can meet them for coffee once or twice a month. You'll buy them breakfast and you'll pick their brains. 9 times out of 10, people will say yes. So that would be my advice around mentors. Yes, get one. B, don't spend $1,500 a month just because they say they're good at real estate. And C, be consistent with it. Keep going and execute their ideas that they share with you.
What's on the horizon? What's coming up in 2019? We're rushing towards the end of the year far too quickly. What have you guys got planned next year?
Party boats.
Yeah, we've got a party boat.
We're going to sell lots of houses. We're going to meet lots of people and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it and hopefully make some people very happy.
The brutal truth is, and the real honesty is that we're 7-8 months into a new business. Anybody that's ever opened up a new business will tell you that the number one risk is cash flow and operating costs and keeping it going. So when you're operating in a market that's not exactly firing like we are, we just want to survive, really, and stay in the game. We've noticed that when markets do turn and they get a little bit more difficult, it creates a real opportunity because a lot of agents leave the market. So my personal number one goal is to stay in the game. As long as we're in the game long enough, I think we've got enough skill sets and know that I've got enough foresight around technology and advancement that if I'm sitting here in 2019 at this table,
we'll be very happy.
We'll be very happy and we'll be very advanced because I think personally real estate's already changed. It's not changing. It's already gone. And I think anybody who doesn't realize that's going to have to play catch up and there's 10 steps back. So all we need is some more money so that I can execute my ideas, Karen. So make some money.
But that is our biggest challenge because when you change brands, you lose your momentum. Because some people think you've left the industry. They don't see Karen and Ed. Karen being in the business 16 years, Ed's doing so well in his short time, and they just see MGU and they think, who is this? So we've actually lost a lot of business that we potentially would have otherwise got caught in for. So we would generally be extremely happy to still be sitting here, as I said, in 12 months' time.
Yeah, I think that's a good mentality to go into a new business year with, is if your goal is to stay in the game, then you're hungry. You got to make it work, right? You know, we've got bills to pay. We've got staff to pay. We've got our own home stuff to pay for. So if that doesn't get you fired up, then what else do you need? And it's not like putting our names on the side of cars and crap like that. I don't want to be on a bus stop, let me assure you. Nobody wants to see me on a bus stop. What do you want? Do you want a bus stop?
If it gets me more business, gets people saying, oh, Karen, she's still selling. She hasn't moved.
So I'm going to get Karen on a bus stop, but it's going to be a digital one. My 3 goals when I first walked into real estate was, number one, I wanted to make $1 million per year. Number two, I wanted to speak at AREC. I went to AREC before I really joined real estate. And number three, I wanted to be the number one in Queensland. So I've still got to check those all off. So who knows? Maybe we can do them all in 1 year.
I'd like a new rank four, a white one. And be able to send my daughter to design college next year and finish off my renovation, which has been going on for 9 years.
I want to fly my family over business class to see the family. My mum and dad are in Ireland. My sister's in Scotland. And I've got a little sister and 2 brothers spread out over Australia. So next year, I want to get us all together and just have a good family time. The number one thing for me above all is family. That's the most important. My brothers and sisters, I love them dearly. My mother and father put me here. I owe them everything. So that's my number one goal, is to spend a little bit more time with my family, which is difficult when you're so spread out over the world.
Yeah.
And a holiday. Haven't had one in 10 years, so.
Party boat.
Party boat.
Party boat. Sounds like it's going to be a good 2019, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today, Karen, Ed. Thanks for your time.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.